This is the Plant Yourself Podcast. I'm Howard Jacobson of PlantYourself.com and the Big Change Program with Josh Lajani. This podcast is part of my mission to empower you to live a healthy and joyful life. So I've been doing a little bit of rebranding here at Plant Yourself, realizing that my mission has really morphed into helping people implement healthy lifestyles, healthy diet, healthy exercise, healthy mindset, healthy environmental exposure, healthy relationship with the planet. And it's not so much about just the details or the studies, but really about helping people achieve big change. And so I've rebranded my email newsletter from the Wellness Weekly to the Big Change Bulldog, because I like alliteration. So while the podcast will continue to interview experts in all domains of human and planetary health, the rest of my business is really morphing towards big change, towards helping people adopt the things in their life that are going to bring them joy, health, happiness, and all the other good stuff that everybody wants. And the Big Change Bulldog will be the primary vehicle for doing that. I have a special goodie for Big Change Bulldog subscribers throughout the entire month of February, and it is my Sometimes Say Never report. And it deals with this big question about when should we absolutely say never again to a food or a food group or a class of foods, and when should we say, well, it's an occasional treat? Because I know a lot of people who really don't want to ever eliminate a food from their lives forever. Like, I can never have chocolate again, or I could never have a beer again. But other people, that is absolutely necessary for them. If you think about someone who is an alcoholic and they know if they touch a drop that they're going back down that road. So it's clearer with alcohol and with drugs because they aren't necessary for survival, but food is typically a much more amorphous question. So the Sometimes Say Never report is designed to help you figure out when you should say never to certain foods ever again. So if you find yourself eating in ways that you know you shouldn't, you're eating foods that you want to avoid, you find yourself at the store buying foods you've decided to stop eating, or you're eating too much or too often or too fast, if you're eating while doing other things, and you know that these are behaviors that are not serving you, but you're doing them anyway, the Sometimes Say Never report can really help you get on the right track and defeat binge eating and be at peace with food. So this is a vanishing report. It's only available in February. If you'd like to get a copy of it, go to plantyourself.com/never, and you can click the link, and you can have that delivered right into your inbox. But don't wait, because this vanishes at the end of February 2017. All right, now let's go on to today's show. Today's guest is Mylon Ross. And a few years ago, Mylon weighed about 500 pounds, and suffered from diabetic neuropathy, hypertension, and high cholesterol. And he took a job at Whole Foods Market for the health insurance. He really didn't care much about health food because his wife had just been diagnosed with severe and progressive multiple sclerosis, and they were going to need a lot of help with medical bills as the disease took her mobility and quality of life. So one of the perks of the Whole Foods job was paid attendance at an immersion program, which was led by Dr. Scott Stoll. And Mylon wasn't really bought into this whole thing. He ate a rack of ribs, cheese fries, and a Diet Coke at the airport on the way to the event, if that's any indication of how seriously he was taking this idea of dietary change. So what happened next surprised Mylon as much as anyone else in attendance. Dr. Sean Stevenson was giving a talk, and he invited people to answer publicly, why am I in the position I'm in now? And Mylon found himself being prompted to go to the microphone to speak in public. And what came out of his mouth utterly shocked him, because it was God's truth and he hadn't realized it until that moment. So fast forward 5 years, Mylon is down 250 pounds and every aspect of his life has improved. He's off all his meds. He works out. He has a memoir and a cookbook with Dr. Scott Stoll, as well as a food line, Full Flavor Vegan, which is sold exclusively through Whole Foods. And our conversation is just another reminder to me of the power of the human spirit to free ourselves from the prisons of our own making and the speed at which it can happen. So without further ado, Mylon Ross, welcome to the Plant Yourself podcast.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, not as excited as I am to talk to you. I've been watching your videos, and And one of the things I've been thinking about a lot is, you know, how do we get people from where you were to where you are? And we'll get into like where you were and where you are now. But it's like for a lot of people, they don't believe it's possible. They read the, you know, here's the diet, here's the protocol. It just seems too good to be true. They doubt themselves. And the one thing they can't doubt is you. So I see people like you as kind of a reservoir of trust for people who don't trust themselves. At least they can look at you and say, okay, I guess this is possible. So I'm willing to take that first step.
Well, Howard, let me say this. First of all, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. Just for the record, I was one of those people. You know, my story and journey began about 3 years ago. And when I started, I was one of those people that said, this is going to take a lifetime. After abusing my body in the ways that I did for as long as I did, I spent over a decade and a half morbidly obese. I thought surely it would take at least, you know, that much time to try to repair it. And so I was one of those people who thought it was impossible to reach any kind of, you know, amazing results. And, you know, even if I did, I thought there's no way it's sustainable. So, yeah, I was one of those people.
Mm. So let's get into your story. And then I want to ask you, like, given that bleak assessment, what made you even start? But let's start with, like, you know, your background, the you know, the backstory, so that we can get to the good part.
Well, when I in 2012, I went to work for Whole Foods Market, the big grocery chain. And the reason I went to work for them, at the time I was doing voiceover and that was my career. My wife ran surgical hospitals, which she still does, and she was diagnosed with MS. She had a major MS attack, which at one point had her blind in one of her eyes. Let me just say she's completely healed now, but it also made her very weak in the legs. And at, you know, my wife, who looks far younger than she is, she's quite young, but she's far younger than she does, than she actually is. The doctor sat us down and said, you might want to think about long-term care and what you're going to do next. And so for us, my wife running, you know, working at the hospital, we've always used medical insurance through her. We found out kind of rudely that she could not be walking. They basically said, you know, she could end up not walking relatively quickly. So I scrambled then to find a job that would allow me to have insurance. And I went in and interviewed for the position at Whole Foods. And I have to be quite honest, when I did this, I didn't expect to have this all work out like it did. I sat down, I was honest with them and said, look, I need insurance. The lady at the time understood my plight and she offered me a job on the spot. And that's kind of how I got with Whole Foods. Once I was there, I had heard about a program that they offered, and this is going to sound too good to be true because it did to me too. They offered something called an immersion. Now, let me just explain to you what an immersion is. Imagine going to a 5-star resort in a tropical location for a full week for free to learn from the best doctors, trainers, and nutritionists, all while doing yoga on the beach every morning as you watch the dolphins swim by. That's exactly what they offered. At the time that I first heard about it, though, I thought it was too good to be true and had no intent on doing it. And then my wife and I planned for my son Nigel's 7th birthday, the trip of a lifetime. My wife and son had never been to Florida, and although I had been several times, my son wanted to go and do the whole Disney Universal thing for his 7th birthday. So my wife and I planned this no holes barred, you know, trip of a lifetime, really. We stayed for, you know, 2.5 weeks. We had tickets to every major theme park. We visited everywhere. And the only thing my son asked during this whole thing was, we got on a line, checked all the rides out, and he had deemed the Harry Potter ride at Universal the most epic ride ever. And he said, hey, Dad, you got to ride this ride with me. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. At the time, I was 480 pounds, and I, you know, reluctantly said yes. But I also said, you know, it's his 7th birthday. I'm not going to let my son down. And even though I'm not a big roller coaster or ride kind of person, I had agreed to do this. Well, when we got to Universal on his birthday, birthday, we go into the park. We had paid to get in early. We go to the ride, and anybody that's been to this ride understands that as you approach the ride, there's a sample of the seating. I was pulled out of line by one of the people that worked, and they asked me to sit down and try the seating. And I'm just going to tell you, Howard, within moments of sitting down, it was obvious that this wasn't going to work. I had two grown men practically breaking my ribs as they tried to close the harness over me. And my son, who had no idea what was going on, just heard them say after 2 minutes of trying, "Sir, we're going to need you to step out of line. You're not going to be able to ride today. Please wait on the platform where families with small children wait to exchange to do the ride." My son began to bawl. He didn't know what was happening. He's like pleading with them and begging them, saying that it's his birthday and that I had promised to ride this ride. And I'll just tell you, Howard, I sat there and I was ready to crawl under a rock. Now, although my son had no idea what happened and my wife drug him off to get on this ride, everybody else, the 200 other families that were standing around, knew exactly what had happened. And it was in that moment that I decided I didn't know what an immersion was, but I was sure as hell going to attend it as soon as I got back home. And that's how my whole journey began.
Wow. So I'm wondering about that Disney trip. Was part of it the specter of your wife maybe not being able to participate in things like this again?
My wife has never been. She's been physically fit her entire life. She is, you know, amazingly healthy, always have been. And to be honest, up until that point, I never even considered my weight to directly affect my family. I had never experienced a situation. Now, I knew I was obese, and I knew that I struggled, and I knew that there was things that I couldn't do that I wish I could do. For instance, playing catch with my son, where most people go to the park and play catch, we never did. One, I was morbidly obese and embarrassed beyond belief, but I couldn't stand or walk for a long period of time. So for catch for us was I would sit on a chair in the middle of the yard and my son would throw me the ball and I would throw it back. And if ever I missed it or he didn't hit me where I could catch it, he had to go get it. This was our version of catch. And the crazy thing is I had rationalized it and made it normal. So for my son, it was normal for him too, or so I thought. Once we got to Florida, it was obvious that the decisions that I had made and the choices that I had made was having a direct impact on my family. And I'll be honest with you, I said I'm never going to be in a position where I have to lie to my son again. And that's what it felt like. I lied and told him I was going to do this with him. And in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, maybe this wouldn't work out. But I had agreed, and he was looking forward to it, and I couldn't do it.
Mm. So take us back to the road to 480 pounds. Were you always overweight as a child, or did something happen?
Not at all. So this is the crazy part. From the time I was, my son's 10 now. So from the time I was a kid all the way up until I was 24 years old, I was fit. And I don't just mean fit. Howard, I had a six pack. I'm talking full on sexy. And you know, from 24 to 30, though, something happened. And I would love to tell you that I could just put my thumb on it. But I will say this, because I learned a little bit about myself at immersion. And I'll share that with you in just a second. But from 24 to 30, I went from fit, healthy, and a six pack to 518 pounds. It was unbelievable how quickly the weight came on. I was always thin, real thin. I never had a problem. I could eat whatever I wanted. But as you get older and slow down a little bit, the weight started coming on. And because I was like a string bean at first, when I first put the weight on, I looked ripped. I mean, I went from a bean pole to a little bit of weight on, and all of a sudden I looked like, you know, I was in the gym every day, and I wasn't. But it just kept going and going. And then before you know it, you hit a point where you realize you have far exceeded where you thought you would be, and the hopelessness set in. So you kind of give up. You know, my body had become my tomb, and that's exactly the way I saw it. My body was my tomb.
So what were you eating?
So on a typical day, people ask me all the time, how can you gain so much weight and maintain it for so long. And this is what I tell them. My average day, if I got up and I ate, I would do, say, McDonald's. Let's use these guys. I'd go to the Golden Arches and I would order a, back then you could get the double cheeseburger for 99 cents. I would get a double cheeseburger times six, so six of them. I'd get two of the 99 cent fries, which are a large fry. I'd get a Diet Coke, which I thought was healthy, and a milkshake. That's a single meal. Now, if you do the math on the calories in those burgers and those fries, that's more than most people would consume in a week.
Mm, well, that's about like 6,000-7,000 calories.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy. And then that was lunch or breakfast or brunch, if you will. You know?
Is that how you would eat before that? Like you just had this really crazy active metabolism and it just...
I did. And I never had an issue with it. And it was like I said, as my metabolism slowed down, though, it all started to catch up. And so when you're eating junk food or processed food or a ton of fast food and you're burning it as fast as you're taking it in, you know, not such a problem. Although your insides aren't probably healthy. But I mean, on the outside, you look like you're still physically fit. The minute that your metabolism slows down, all of a sudden, you're taking in far more calories. I was doing probably 20,000 calories a day, 18,000 calories a day, easy. I mean, I would sit down and I, on average, was drinking probably 2 liters of Pepsi or Coke a day, not 20 ounce, but I would carry my 2 liter around like most people carry their 20 ounce bottle around. Hmm. And this was my daily thing. And then, you know, of course, I convinced myself, well, if you do a diet, there's zero calories, that makes it better. And we both know that's not the case.
Right. Do you have a sense of, you know, I mean, you're an extreme case, but a lot of people eat like this, maybe not, you know, 20,000 calories a day, but certainly 5,000 or 6,000. Like, do you have a sense of what the food was doing for you? Like what it seems like you were overeating. Like,
oh, absolutely. But you know what it is? And you know, it took me a long time to learn a couple of things. First of all, I realized that food is a drug. And the crazy thing about this drug is it's the one drug that's socially acceptable. So if you were doing, you know, a hard drug like a cocaine or a heroin and you were just walking down the street doing that, the perception of you and the way the public would react with you would be instant. I mean, you would feel that that's not acceptable. You can go to McDonald's every day and it's socially acceptable. You can, you know, and I tell people, you know, even today, it's cheaper to buy off the 99 cent menu than it is to buy the $8 salad that doesn't really look like a salad at those types of places. And so for me, you know, it became a kind of a comfort thing. One of the things that happened to me at Immersion, which I never dreamed of would happen, was this. On day two of the Immersion, so day one, you get there, you have a reception, you meet everybody, you know, we're sizing each other up because I thought it was a fat camp, I'll be honest with you. And then I get there and there were people from all walks of life, all ages, you know, there was people there that looked like they shouldn't have even been there. And I come to find out they had health issues that required them to be there. You know, high cholesterol, you know, diabetes, I mean, all kinds of things that was going on internally for them, even though they looked healthy and fit. And then there was people there like me who were morbidly obese and had all of those same kind of things, high blood pressure and diabetes and cholesterol, but it showed outwardly. But on day two of this Immersion, so there was a speaker there. His name is Dr. Sean Stevenson. Dr. Sean Stevenson is 3 feet tall, and he suffers from a disease known as brittle bones. Now, he's a world-renowned speaker. He's spoken all over the world and on major shows like Oprah and everything. He gave this speech called Get Off Your Butt. Not your butt like B-U-T-T, but your butt like B-U-T. Like, I would do better, but. You know, and so he gave this speech, and at the end of the speech, he asked for 5 to 7 or 10 people to stand up and tell their why. Now, what he explained as our why was, why do you think you're in the position you're in now? And I never will forget it. I sat in this room with about 200 people that I didn't know. I had only spent probably 45 minutes or an hour with them the night before for the dinner, because that's pretty much the interaction besides the little meet and greet that was about an hour or so. And we're sitting in this room and he's like picking people because nobody's standing up. And he pointed at me. And I remember thinking, I'm not getting up there and talking. You know, this guy's lost his mind. And he waited me out. And he says, we're going to wait. What's your name? And I said my name. And so I remember getting up and I'm walking to the back. And everybody's in front of the mic. And they're telling their stories of why they think they're where they're at. And in my mind, like, I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm where I'm at because, you know, there's a 99-cent menu is what I'm thinking. But I walk up to the mic. I'm sorry. And I share a story that I had never shared publicly in my entire life before that day. To let you understand how important this story was to me, I need to tell you just a little bit of background. When I was born on December 30th at 3:03 in the morning, my mom started a tradition for me. Every year on my birthday, she would wake me up 10 minutes before the time I was born, which was 3:03 in the morning, and we would have I would have hot chocolate. She'd have coffee. She'd make us toast with jam. And we'd sit at the table in our house, in our kitchen, and talk. And we did this every year for as far back as I could remember. When I became an adult, she would call me on my birthday. So I would do the same thing, only I'd be in my house and she'd be in her house. And we'd do this whole conversation and we'd each have coffee and toast and we sit and talk for hours. One day I asked her why she had this tradition with me. And she explained to me that at the time I was born, December 30th, which is right before New Year's, we're sitting in the hospital. And she said she felt like the entire world didn't exist. Everybody was asleep in the entire world. And in that moment, it felt like it was just me and her. And so me having five other siblings, she wanted to create that for the siblings. She wanted to create that environment for me. And she did. She managed to do it. To make a long story short, in 2004, my mom and I had a disagreement. Now, I need to tell you, I have always journaled, and I've done it since I was, you know, younger than my son, who's 10. And I've also kept them. So I have all of these journals. But in my journal, I wrote down that we had had this fight, but I never wrote down what the fight was about. To this day, I don't even remember what it was about. But it caused my mom and I to stop talking. Now, I was a mother's boy. I need to say that. I talked to my mom, you know, every day, every other day, at the you know, as far out as it would go, as like every other day. We talked constantly. It was always. And then we went from talking to whatever the fight was about to we didn't talk. And for me, at first, you know, it was a little bit of pride. You know, hey, she's not talking. I'm not talking. We're going to stand on our laurels. But in the back of my mind, I kept saying, this will all end because on December 30th at 3:03, we're going to talk. We've talked every year for as long as I can remember on my birthday at the time I was born. In 2004, the year we had the fight, I remember preparing myself. I went grocery shopping. I had everything ready. I had the coffee on, getting it ready 15 minutes before the call. I got my telephone sitting on my kitchen table. And I sat there. And about 3:05, I thought, you know, maybe the, you know, her clock is a little different than mine. 3:15, 3:20. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I realized she's not calling. And Howard, I'm just going to tell you, I've never been more devastated in my life. And I didn't even know it at the time. You know, I stood in immersion and I shared this story with people and I had never spoken of this publicly. Only my wife and I had talked about it. Never said anything to anybody. And as I shared this story, I felt this weight like you wouldn't believe come off me. And the reason being is my mom and I never spoke again. I saw her once for about 10 minutes before my son, the year my son was born, which was 2006, about 4 days before he was born. We barely spoke, you know, except to acknowledge that we saw each other. I don't even think we said a word. And she died in 2008 on September 3rd. I never, ever got to make it right. And the crazy thing is looking back, I don't even know what we fought over. Obviously, it wasn't important. I mean, I can't even remember it, but it had this hold on me, the guilt and the shame, and you know, you just kind of implode, if you will. And I think that that's kind of how my journey began. And but at Immersion, I shared this story, and it took the weight off my back. That monkey finally came off my back, and I didn't know it then. I'll be honest with you. I knew something was different. I remember telling my story in this room, and everybody's crying. Dr. Sean Stevenson is crying. Dr. Stoll, who the Immersion is named after and who runs the Immersion, was everybody's crying. I got 200 people in the room. We're all crying. And the first thing I thought when it was all over was, I'm ready to go home. I don't know these people. I don't want to see them again. Like, this is way too much. This is day two. Like, we still got 5 days left of a 7 day week, and I thought, this is not going to be right. But I remember going back to my room and calling my wife and telling her what happened. And I just told her, I said, something just happened, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's crazy. And that started my journey. And from that point on, it exploded for me.
That's so poignant. I have, you know, tears in my eyes listening to it as well. You can't help but be touched by it. And it's, I find it really interesting that that's kind of how your story began, because at some point, I think on everyone's journey, they have to have a moment, something like that, right? Because you know, you can say, well, it's the thermogenics, it's the diet and exercise, it's energy management, and we can look at the physical manifestations of our behaviors and how they led to things. But at some point, I don't know anyone who doesn't have some kind of really deep grief, loss, depression, anger at the root of those behaviors.
You
And
know what's crazy, Howard, is that I don't think people even understand. It is an emotional part. And if you don't fix the emotion, I don't care who you are, whatever your story is, maybe you didn't get hugged enough as a kid, maybe you got picked on, whatever it is that your stigma is, whatever has caused that, whatever that pain is, if you don't deal with that, none of what you do is sustainable. Because what I learned is food is a drug. And as I said, it's socially acceptable to use this drug and abuse this drug. And so what happens is you start to do it and do it and do it, and it becomes your blanket, your comfort. It's no different than any other addict. For me, it had taken on this manifestation where it just, I had given up. And at Immersion, for whatever reason, like, I don't even know why I shared it. Like, looking back, I even think about it, and I'm thinking, if I had been in my right mind, I probably wouldn't have. I didn't even know that was my why. Like, I stepped to the mic and started talking, and I realized it just came out of nowhere. And tears are running down my face as I'm explaining it. But the one thing that happened is, after that, in that week of Immersion, I lost 33 pounds and 6 inches off my waist. I went there with a 56-inch waist. Now, I want you to just think about how big 56 inches around is. That means if I held my belt up from end to end, it's taller than most average height people. Let alone, when you think that I tell people I was 6'4.5" by 5'9" is how I would describe myself. I realized that I was that fat, jolly, joking all the time to cope kind of person. And Immersion gave me the opportunity to release it, and it, once released, I had lost more weight in on day two than I ever dreamed before I ever lost a pound of actual body weight. And that made it possible to do what I've done now.
Wow. So 33 pounds in a week, like, no doctor would tell you that that's healthy or sustainable, but it sounds like that was all just pure protection.
Well, and you got to remember this. When you're 500 pounds and you go from eating 18,000 calories a day to, when I got to Immersion is no joke, I'm going to tell you. It was one of the toughest things I've ever done. I used to drink 12 shots of espresso a day. I mean, that was my thing. I drank tons and tons. I was always exhausted. And so I drank tons and tons of coffee and espresso. You go to Immersion, there is no espresso. They take the coffee pot out of your room. I remember when I got there, this is a 5-star resort, and this is a true story. I called down because you look around your room and I'm thinking, okay, this is a, I got views, the beach is literally 60 yards from the back door of the hotel. I'm like looking at the ocean. I'm like, this is a beautiful place. Surely there's coffee in this hotel. Like, this is a, you know, and so I called down and I never will forget it. They answer the phone and I'm like, hey, so this is the Mylan and room XYZ. I my coffee pot is missing. And they go, yeah. I was like, you guys like have coffee, like, right? And I was like, yeah. And it was kind of like the Seinfeld thing. No coffee for you. I was like, what? They took all caffeine, salt, oil, and sugar away. When you do that and you go from 18,000 calories a day down to, they don't put a restriction. You can eat as much as you want, but I'm eating healthier than I'd ever eaten in my life. The pounds were literally falling off. The minimal exercise that I was doing, which, you know, there was no crazy, I was too big to be out there, you know, exercising 3 hours a day or anything like that. You know, just walking in the sand, which most people don't realize, that's a full body workout to stay upright in sand. You know, if you go walk down the beach, your whole body and core and everything is having to stabilize you. Those were the extent of the exercises. A little bit of yoga here and there, but you got to remember, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't doing downward dog at 500 pounds. But the weight came off, and I had promised myself when I went, if I saw any kind of results, I was going to give it a real shot. Now, I just want to say this. When I went to the airport to go to Immersion, the day that I flew out, I stopped in the airport, and I'm going to be honest, I had a full rack of ribs with a side of chili cheese fries and a Diet Coke at the airport. I didn't know what to expect. And as bad as I wanted it, you know, I was that guy that had bought every gadget and every pill that had ever been sold on late night TV. That's, they prey on people like me. When you feel hopeless or trapped and stuck, and they come on and say, you don't have to exercise but 5 minutes a day and the pounds will fall off. My house was littered with equipment, you know, and programs that there was no way I could do it, you know, without having a massive heart attack. Mm-hmm. Because it's not sustainable. Insanity is great, but not at 518 pounds. And so it was one of those things where I thought it was, you know, it was not doable.
So did they have scales to like weigh yourself? Like when did you realize it was working?
I didn't. So I could tell that my clothes were starting to get weird. They did have scales. So they weighed us the day that you get there. You go through all your blood work and everything on day one, or the morning of day two, actually, because day one, you get there in the afternoon. And then on the very last day, right before you leave, they do a blood work and all of your measurements again. And they tell you what the results are. They mail you your blood work results, but they tell you the results of your weight and you know, your waistline and all of the things that they check with your physical. And so at the time, though, I didn't know. They have a cruise and a beach party and all of these things. So Immersion is like a true getaway. I mean, we're at a golf resort, which we didn't get to golf, but it's beautiful. And then they do a cruise one day, they do a beach party with a live band another day. What I found was my clothes wasn't fitting. By the time we got to the cruise, which is, I believe, was on day six, my clothes, like the shorts I had brought, weren't quite fitting. Like they were, like I noticed that the belt loops, I was having to notch in and go, you know, drop the belt loops down on my belt. But I still didn't know what to think. You know, you don't realize it until that moment that you get on the scale. And I'll tell you, I cried like a baby when they told me I had dropped 33 pounds. I had lost more weight in that week than I had in a very long time. But more importantly, I knew it was sustainable. I was eating more than I even dreamed of. I wasn't starving. The food was amazing. You could eat as much as you want. I mean, so it got to the point where when you first go there, you're pigging out, or so you think. But by day three, you're not even hungry because the nutrient is so dense that your body's not even craving any of the things. So it just started to fall. Now, make no mistake about it. Days one through three, the withdrawal was like being a drug addict. I'm just going to tell you, my body hurt and the shakes and the headaches and the sweats from no salt, oil, or sugar was real. You know, I talk about it in my book. It was not just for me, but you looked around the room whenever you had 200 people who were miserable. But by the end of day three, something miraculous happened. You start to feel good. You know, that cough, not having coffee, it was like I broke my coffee habit. And I'm sure that Starbucks is not happy. I'm sure that they dropped stock, you know, because I was putting their kids through college. And all of a sudden I went from that to I didn't need it. And I was waking up with energy that I didn't even know I could have without the Starbucks. I mean, even with the Starbucks, I wouldn't get that kind of energy. More importantly, let me just give you a for instance. My blood pressure was sustainably 112 over 77. I had taken blood pressure meds for almost 18 years, and it was never 112 or 20 or any of that over anything under, you know, 115. Mm. It was my blood, it dropped so fast, and things were happening so fast that, you know, one of the things they told me at Immersion was when you go back, you have to report to your doctor right away because they adjusted my meds on the fly. I mean, it was all almost surreal. And the crazy thing is, Howard, no time in my adult life had I ever, my doctor used to tell me, hey, you should try to lose some weight. They never said to me, guess what? If you lose weight, you can come off the cholesterol medicine, the blood pressure medicine, the diabetes medicine. I had diabetic neuropathy in my feet. They told me that nerve damage was permanent. I mean, it's like getting cut with straight razors. I had a disease that you know, the common name for it is called burning thigh pain, where your gut grows so big that it cuts off the femoral artery that runs through your pelvic area and causes the most excruciating pain on the outside of your thigh to the point where you can't even stand. It's like just literally somebody's cutting your leg after 5 minutes of standing. And the crazy thing was they told me all of that damage was permanent. Hey, the nerve damage in your leg is going to be permanent. Diabetic neuropathy, probably not going to go away. Nobody said that if you changed all of this, it would change. I just want to share this with you. 3 months after I left Immersion, I was down over 70 pounds and off all meds. Not some, but all. Food had done for me what medicine hadn't done in 18 years. Medicine treats symptoms. It never cures anything. It just And I was having side effects, so they were giving me pills to help with the pills that they were already giving me. I was taking handfuls of pills every day and still hurting, still going through all the kind of crazy with reactions to some of the stuff. And it basically said, you have to live with it. In 3 months, food had healed me to the point where I was off all my medication. And, you know, you can imagine what my not only my stamina, but my outlook had changed. You know, 6 months in, I was down 107 pounds.
Mm. So when you experienced this, like profoundly, instantaneously, and measurably, like, and you realize, you look back at the way you'd been communicated with by the medical profession, what did you think? Like, how could you possibly make sense of that?
Well, this is what blew my mind. First of all, I got to say this. Dr. Stoll was the first doctor that set me down, and he wrote me a recipe rather than a prescription. And I'm sharing the story because I thought he was crazy at the time. I remember telling him how I was hurting on like day three, and he set me down, and I said, you know, I've been on meds, and you know, they give me pain meds, they give me, you know, I got to control my cholesterol, I got to do this and that. And he sat down, and he was like, I understand. And he breaks out his prescription pad, and he writes out like a smoothie recipe. And I was like, this guy's crazy. He's lost his mind. And he's talking to me the whole time. And he says, it's crazy because he told me, he says, Mylon, you don't realize this, but your life is going to change. And all you have to do is stick with this. What blows my mind is, Howard, is that the doctors today, a lot of them have no idea. They're not even taught nutrition like you would think. I mean, they get a couple hours in comparison to the many hours that they spend on everything else. And so they're taught to manage rather than cure. And that is the difference. And so for me, I thought, now I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to do a book or any of that. When I first started to lose the weight, 18 months in, I was down 170 pounds and I literally looked like a different person. So I had been trapped in this body that was a tomb. And all of a sudden, it was like the doors got blown off and I was free. Like, I used to tease my wife and say, does your husband know you're cheating on him with your husband? Because I looked like a completely different person. And so I had no idea that it was even possible. And I was going to keep this a secret. And somebody told me, they said, you know, there's 80 million people out there who are still stuck where you were, who thinks this take a lifetime. You have to share your story. And I remember sitting down and seriously thinking about it. And I was like, you know, when you're obese, people ignore you and pay attention to you all at the same time. They literally go out of their way to pretend like they don't see you, all the while staring at you. I mean, it's the craziest thing in the world. So the minute that I felt normal, if you will, I'm doing air quotations right now, normal, I didn't want any parts of it. I was like, I just want to exist. I don't want any attention. I just want to be the normal guy.
You know, what's hilarious about that is, you know, I know Sean Stevenson, and he talks about that all the time because, you know, he looks very different from, you know, quote, normal people. And he does a great comedy routine, right, on the way people like hold up their newspapers and then sort of look down, you know, lower them a little bit to look at him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what's crazy is you almost wish they would just gawk and get it over with. You know, they go out of their way to try to pretend they don't see you. You know, the worst for me was like you go to the airport, like you go to a fast food restaurant or you go to a buffet. Oh, my goodness. Nobody cares. People would step back and watch me go through the buffet line. I mean, it was almost overwhelming. But
it's spectacle.
It's exactly. Right? It was like the greatest show on earth.
Kind of thing. Someone looks at you and no matter what's wrong with them, they get to feel superior for a minute.
Yep. Yep. And you know what the crazy thing about it, though, is that, you know, when I started putting pictures up on Facebook, which is how this all happened for me. The weight was coming off and I started putting pictures up. What blew my mind, it wasn't the people saying, oh, you did a great job. I started getting messages, thousands and thousands of messages from people all over the world who were still where I was, who was like, please tell me that the pictures that you're putting up are real. Please tell me that this is really doable. Please tell me how you did it. And all of a sudden I realized there's like a whole slew of people out there, just like I did not know this even existed. And I say to myself, how do we live in one of the most powerful nations in the world? And you don't know that if you can, not only can you change your health, people told me that because I was African American, I was destined to be diabetic, destined to have high cholesterol, destined to have high blood pressure, because it ran in my family on both sides. They told me my genes was my destiny. My genetics were my destiny. They were wrong. Period. I do not have high blood pressure or high cholesterol anymore. None of it. All of it's gone. I'm in the best shape of my life. I just turned 45 on December 30th, and I'm in better shape at 45 than I ever was in my 20s when I was skinny. Skinny. I mean, I have guns now. and I didn't even think that was possible, you know? And so I look at those things and I realize, you know, the whole world, you'd be surprised how many people don't know. And they feel hopeless and they feel trapped. And that's really why I did the book and stuff, because I realized that letting people see that there was hope out there, that they did not have to be stuck in their body, that they did not have to live the rest of their life on the sideline. You know what the worst part about it is? I have a beautiful wife who loves to dance. And she had to wait 12 years to dance with me for real.
Mm.
And now we dance all the time. I mean, you know, we didn't even think it was possible.
I bet she says it was worth the wait.
She does. She does. I mean, she has, you know, I'm blessed in the sense that she's been just a rock for me, but she has, you know, done this whole journey with me from start to finish, and I'm just grateful beyond measure.
One of the things that's coming up for me is, so, you know, I work with a lot of people who for whom the food is a huge challenge. And they, you know, they're addicted either, you know, physiologically or emotionally, and they really sort of hate and resent this whole process. And they look at other people who eat the same way, who happen to be skinny, and they're so envious.
Yep.
And what I'm hearing in your story is that your obesity really was a gift that allowed, because it wasn't about the obesity.
It changed.
It was about forgiving yourself, about coming to love yourself, about this whole situation with this tragedy with your mother, that if you had been skinny, you might still be walking around with all that inside you.
Yep. You know what's crazy to me, too, is that now I would love to tell you I was brilliant and I knew that this would all turn out like it did. But I got to be honest, I'm not that smart. People don't realize your health is reflected in every aspect of your life. My entire life has changed. I mean, besides the fact that get to write books, I have, multiple book deals to do books and things like that. I'm in a movie and working on a TV show and all of these things. Besides the fact of all of that, it gave me my life back. And had I not been morbidly obese, this is going to sound crazy, I wouldn't have even been able to appreciate it like I do. I wake up every day grateful, just grateful. Mm. I get to coach my son's teams now. My son and I actually, we have a beautiful gym in our home. My son and I actually train together, things that was never even possible. Let me say this, and I got to share this with you. When I first lost the weight, I had gotten down and I had a Green Lantern t-shirt on and went to pick up my son. Now, my son had went on summer break. I lost all this weight. When he went back to school, I was down, almost 200 pounds. I definitely looked different. And all of his teachers and the students, he goes to school with these kids every year, obviously noticed the difference. I picked up from school one day, and I had this Green Lantern. His friends were making comments about, you look like a superhero. Now, don't get me wrong. As a dad, you laugh or chuckle, but I was, not even thinking about it in that kind of term. My son was captivated. He didn't even want to leave the classroom. Like, I'm picking him up and he's like standing there just soaking this in. And I'm thinking, okay, as a parent, you got a million things in your mind. You're not even thinking about what's happening in that moment. As we're walking back to the car, my son says, hey, Dad, can you wear your Green Lantern t-shirt again to pick me up tomorrow? I was like, what? I was like, buddy, so we're going to want to wash it. I can wear a t-shirt. And it didn't click to me. We get in the car and he doesn't say anything. Now, my son is outgoing as I am. And all of a sudden he's dead. So I stop, turn around and I look at him. I said, Nigel, you okay? And Howard, what he shared with me, even to this day, it chokes me up because he looked me in the face and he said, Dad, before today, my friends used to make fun of me when you would pick me up. Mm. They would tease me every day that you came. And I remember I asked him, I said, why wouldn't you tell me about this? And he said, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. And I thought to myself, he was forced to carry this burden because of the decision I made. Are you kidding me? Needless to say, I bought a whole bunch of superhero t-shirts. and throughout that school year, I made sure that I came up, guns showing. and just to see the look on his face that he had this, I didn't even realize that was having a profound effect on him. And he didn't share it. And, so for me, I never knew. And now that burden had been lifted off of him. And again, I realized, because I've shared this story before, and you can't imagine how many people have told me, they write me and tell me, I went through the same thing. Some people told me, I went and talked to my kids after hearing your story, and then they shared with me. I had no idea, but after hearing your story, I realized that maybe they were going through the same thing, and it turned out they were. And so I tell people all the time, it's more than we think, but that's one of the reasons, again, why I decided to share and come out. And you're right, had I not done this, had I not been obese for a decade and a half plus, one, I wouldn't be appreciative, but I could have still been torn up on the inside and looked okay on the outside. And right now, I'm good mind, body, and soul. So it's awesome.
So I'm guessing that you, were the star of the immersion, at least in terms of numbers. I'm sure you lost more weight than anyone has ever lost in 7 days at an immersion.
That's true. Well, and Whole Foods sponsors four immersions, just so that you know. They have the Dr. Stoll immersion, which Dr. Stoll and I run together now. They have the Dr. McDougall. They have Joe Furman. and they have Engine 2 with Rip Esselstyn. And I'm just going to tell you, nobody's lost as much weight as I have, any of them, and Whole Foods been doing it for over 10 years now. And so they put thousands and thousands of team members through it. But it was why, you know, it turned out, I'll just tell you, you know, everybody knows who John Mackey is. And I just want to say this before I make this statement. Whole Foods gets, you know, they have a bad rap on things, and maybe they deserve it, maybe they don't. But my experience with them is this. 3 months after I left Immersion, I got a call when I was still working at Whole Foods from John Mackey. And this is exactly how the call went. I get a call, I answer the phone, and I'm like, hello? And he goes, Mylon Ross? I said, yes, who is this? He goes, John Mackey. And I go, yeah, right. Click. Kid you not.
You hung up on him.
I hung up on him because I thought it was one of the team members from my store being funny. Phone rings again a couple of minutes later, and I pick up the phone, and I'm like, hello? And I see that this is from Austin. It's a 512 number. The first time it came in blocked. And so I was like, okay. I hear this is the personal assistant or executive assistant for John Mackey. Please hold for John Mackey. He gets on the phone, and I'm like, and the first thing I thought was, what did I do at work today that was so bad?
Yeah.
that Mr. Mackey is calling me up directly. Like, they're not even going to let me come back to work to fire me. They're going to wait. They're going to have him call me directly.
Right. This is the principal's office on steroids.
Exactly. I'm like, Mr. Mackey. And he goes, just call me John. And I'm like, Mr. John. And he goes, I heard about your tremendous adventure at your Immersion. And I was like, yes, sir. He says, would it be okay with you if I kept in contact with you? And I was like, yes, sir. Mr. Mackey or John has kept in contact with me. It's been over 3 years. We still talk. In fact, he has a book coming out in April of this year. And my stories, it's called The Whole Food Plant-Based Diet. And my story and pictures and all of that are featured in his book that he has coming out. He's become almost a mentor for me. Made himself available, called me on a regular basis, checked on me, I mean, constantly. Has shared my story, you know, time after time after time publicly, but really just embraced me in a way that he's the founder of a Fortune 500 company. You would have thought that surely, even if he wanted to keep tabs on it, he would have had somebody else do
it. If you're a marketing asset, that's one thing. But if you're like a cherished soul, that's something else.
And at the time, we didn't know that I would drop more than half my body weight. I was 70 pounds down when he called. And I remember him saying, you should think about writing a book. And I started laughing. I was like, that wouldn't be a very good book. Nobody's going to want to read that one. And
the 30-pound plant-based guy.
Exactly. So he stayed with me. He's kept, even to this day, he's kept in contact, and we talk on a regular basis, and he'll email me and check in on me. And you know, it's just been extraordinary to think. And I don't work, of course, for Whole Foods anymore. I left right before my book was to come out. I did a magazine cover, and, you know, the very first cover I ever did, and it became like, it was almost weird to be in the store because I was still working on the floor, and in the front of the store, they sold the magazine that I was on the cover of. So customers was like, are you? So it got a little weird, but Whole Foods was nice enough to give me a leave of absence, let me finish my book, and kept me on, you know, so I could have insurance and all those things until I was ready to leave. But it was amazing.
Huh. So I want to follow up with that to kind of circle back. The whole reason that all this happened is because your wife developed MS, had a really bad flare, and you needed insurance.
Yep.
And you got insurance, but of a very different kind.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, think about it like this. I could have died had she not gotten sick. Sometimes those blessings that we think are tragedies aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. So how's your wife doing? Did she, you know, you mentioned that she's in remission or cured or something.
So let me say this. Whole Foods went a step further. I got to share this. And it sounds like I'm like touting them, but for me, they've been like just a lifesaver. They changed my life. when I got back from immersion, 6 months in, I was down 107 pounds. I get a call from Patricia Petty, who used to run the immersion program. Patricia calls me up and she says, "Hey, Mylon, at the immersion, your immersion 6 months ago, you mentioned that your wife had MS." I said, "Yes." She said, "I just got off the phone with John Mackey, and you tell your wife she can pick any of the four immersions that we handle, we do, and we're going to pay for her to go, and she can go absolutely free."
Mm.
They turned around and spent another $7,000-$10,000 and sent my wife, who didn't work for them, to Dr. McDougall's immersion, because he specialized in EMS, and he helped her. My wife and I at the time were hoping to have another child. I can tell you now that we are, it'll come out anyway. We just shot a magazine cover together as a family. But we are 7.5 months pregnant with our second child. We're having a girl, and I'm super excited about it. But her MS has all but vanished. She is on a plant-strong diet, and it has had just a profound effect on her. Her vision came back. You know, she looks amazing, which she always did, but she looks amazing, and she's healthy. And so it's been just a godsend for us that this came in. And think, had she not gotten MS to begin with, neither one of us would have went to immersion.
So it's you know? Yeah, it suddenly occurred to me that this this episode is going to go viral outside of my normal. So like I've been having this interview, you know, with my normal listeners in mind, but there are people who are going to be listening to this who don't know anything about plant-based eating. So could you just quickly like say like what you eat, what the immersion's about, what your nutritional philosophy is, just so we put a stake in the ground when this goes out into the wider world?
So people ask me what is a typical meal for me like now? And I just want to say this. People think we're eating sticks and twigs and grass and maybe some bushes. And I laugh. Of course, I get the question, you know, where do you get your protein from? And I laugh. You know, elephants are the biggest mammal on the planet, and they are plant-based. Gorillas are one of the strongest animals on the planet, and they are plant-based. You know, the funny thing about it is, you know, we get all of the nutrition we need, really, out of the plant. So I am 100% vegan. I don't eat any eggs, meat, fish, or dairy. So I tell people I don't eat anything with a mother or a face. My diet consists of everything from, yes, I do have the occasional salad, but it's a lot more exciting than one might think. But I eat lots of things, beans and legumes. And the crazy thing about it is when I first went plant-based, it allowed me to rediscover food in a way that I never thought possible. I have tried things that I never even would have thought about trying when I was a meat eater. I have gotten to experience, my taste buds are different. Like your taste buds literally change when you change your lifestyle. We don't even realize how programmed we are, if you will, to unhealthy taste. And I'm going to use, I'm not going to say the name of it, but there's a syrup out there that the bottle looks like a woman. And I'm just going to say this, that's not syrup. So the first time that I had real maple syrup after going plant-based, it didn't even taste right to me. I was like, what is this? Because we get so much processed stuff that we're not even used to it. My taste buds now are amazing, and I get to eat things. You know, I tell people, if you think that you are missing something, come over to my house and let me cook for you, and I can show you that the flavors and all of that are there. I tell people, they say never trust a skinny cook. Well, I wasn't always skinny, and I knew for this to be sustainable for me, the food had to look, taste, and smell amazing. So what I try to tell people is this. You cannot train a bad diet. You can go to the gym every day, but if you're eating like crap, your body will still reflect that. Your energy level, all of those things reflect that. However, if you eat and give your body what it needs, the fuel that it needs. So if you have a Ferrari and you run it on regular gas, it runs like a Escort. But if you have a Ferrari and you run it on premium, it runs like a Ferrari. And so I now try to treat my body like it's a Ferrari, and I give it the best possible fuel source that it can have. And my weight loss, the 250 plus pounds that I've lost now in 3 years, happened because I gave my body what it needed. I wasn't in the gym. The first 100 pounds came off without me even hitting the gym. I walked on a flat floor treadmill 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. It was all I could do. But the weight, my body naturally adjusted to where it was supposed to be. It's funny. If we stop poisoning ourselves, we heal. And when you heal, your body is, it wants to be healthy. Every day that you give it McDonald's or Burger King or any of those fast food, every day that you're giving it processed foods, because you can be vegan and eat unhealthy too. The difference is I eat a whole food plant-based diet. Potato chips are vegan. I don't eat that every day. French fries are vegan. I don't eat that every day. If you eat a whole food plant-based diet, which is what I do, my body was allowed to heal. And it's funny how quickly it did. I never dreamed that I could weigh 200. I'm just going to tell you. I never dreamed that I could weigh 200 pounds. Even when I dreamt of being healthy, 200 pounds wasn't in the equation. And so I look at it. My body's transitioned down to where it would normally be. And it's in a healthy state. And it's without effort now. I eat, you know, every day. I eat well every day. And I don't have to count calories. That's the best part. So all during this weight loss, I never counted calories. I never felt deprived. I want to say that one more time. I never felt deprived. If you look up the definition of diet, it's so crazy what the definition is. It says to take away something for a limited amount of time to reach a result. So you limit yourself in a way or restrict yourself to reach a desired result. What happens when you stop restricting yourself? You know, knowledge would tell you that as soon as you stop doing whatever you did to lose the weight, all of the weight comes back. In the way that I eat now, I've never had to count a calorie or worry about what I'm eating. I can eat until I'm full, and my body takes the nutrients in that it needs, and it does what it needs to do. And that's, you know, what I want people to realize. It's not something that you have to, you know, count calories or do any of those diets. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle.
So I'm imagining that a lot of people hear your story and they have all sorts of reasons why you're special.
Woo! I would love to say I'm special.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. What do you?
Not at all.
I mean, you know, given that lots of people learn about this stuff and they're still unable to, or they seem to be unable to make these dietary and lifestyle changes, what worked for you, and what do you see as the biggest stumbling blocks for people who, like, they hear about it, they know about it, and then I know you I saw you on an interview saying, like, people want to know, like, you know, the secret, and when you tell them it's diet and exercise, it's like they can't even hear that.
No, and it's so funny to me. I believe in that interview. I said, if I jumped out of a plane and ate whatever I could on the way down before having to pull my parachute, and I told them that that's how I lost the weight, you'd have people jumping out of planes, eating as much as they could before they had to pull their parachute. And they believe that. But as soon as you say diet and exercise, I've had people look at me and go, well, if you don't want to tell me how you did it, just say that. I'm thinking, really? Like, the biggest stumbling block for most people, and it, you know, I realized looking back, all the diets that I did, it was the same thing for me. The biggest stumbling block is people think that it is a all or nothing. Now, for me, I can honestly say I haven't eaten meat since October 28, 2013, which was the day I arrived at Immersion. I went vegan that day, and I have not looked back. But for me, it was I had this overwhelming you know, drive after, you know, the thing with my mom coming out, and just, I felt like I could do it, and it lit a fire in me. Not everybody's going to be like that, and I get that. Remember that every time you sit down and eat, though, it is a chance to allow your body to heal. So if you happen to slip up at lunch, let it go. And come dinner, you get a chance to do it all over again. Every meal is an opportunity to do the right thing. And I'm just going to say this. I never sat down and said, I'm going to never eat meat again. There's no way. I am a food addict. And had I done that, I would have been setting myself up to fail. Every meal I said, you know what? I'm not going to eat meat, or I'm not going to eat, you know, processed food, or I'm not going to eat, you know, a gallon of ice cream, this meal. This meal. And all I focused on was the meal that was in front of me at the time that I was sitting down to eat. I didn't worry about tomorrow's meal or lunch or breakfast or dinner. This meal, I'm going to eat this. And as long as I could focus on that, it allowed me to get through that and make it to the next one. And what I found was I looked up one day and one meal had become 10 and 10 had become 20. And before I knew it, 3 months in, 6 months in, you know, it's been 3 years now. And I don't even think about it. People ask me all the time, do you miss it? No, not at all. Like the smell of it now makes me sick. When I smell greasy stuff, I'm like, ugh. You know? But I realize that not everybody's like that. I tell people, allow yourself the opportunity to try it. Step in out of your comfort zone. And I'm not going to lie, you got to get used to being uncomfortable because that's just what it is. But if you're living anywhere close to the way I was living, you're uncomfortable anyway.
Hmm. It's almost like you're saying you can be uncomfortable now for about 10 minutes when you resist this urge and the payoff is huge, or you can indulge and then be uncomfortable ongoing for the rest of your life.
Or cut your life short or any of those things. The thing for me was, man, I used to always think I was going to be dead before I hit, you know, 45, 50 years old. I really thought that. And that sounds sad when you think about it. I had resolved in my mind that this is where I was. And so pretty much every day I was eating myself into a grave. And I had resolved that there was just no way out of it. So that's where I was. I look back and I think to myself, anytime I speak or meet people, I tell people, you can do this. I would love to tell you that I'm like, I don't have superhuman willpower. I'm not a chef. None of those things. You know, people are like, you got a cookbook. Yeah, because I got in the kitchen and started cooking. But I'm not a chef. I'm not trained. I wanted to go in and change. And so every day I just tried to be a better version of myself than I was the day before. And that was the only commitment I made. You know, I'm going to do this meal this time and I'll worry about the next meal when that one comes up. And each time that I did it, you know, now people ask me, hey, don't you want a cookie sometime? I have a cookie. I don't eat, you know, 4 packs of cookies anymore, but I'll sit down and have a cookie every now and again. But I play this game with myself. So if you sit down and you want to eat a cookie and the cookie say 300 calories, I know that for me, 300 calories is a full, you know, 30 minutes on a treadmill at a 5% incline jogging. Mm. I don't want the cookie that bad. That cookie is way too expensive for me. So instead of sitting down and eating 10 cookies, I might eat one, you know, every couple of weeks or 3 weeks or a month or something. I'm not, you know, the old me would have sat down and ate 2 packs of cookies with a gallon of ice cream and washed it all down with, you know, a 2 liter of soda. That's not me anymore.
Right. And I think for everybody, it's different. For you, being able to say, I can have a cookie once in a while is a sense of sort of power and agency and freedom and free will. For other people, doing that would just make them miserable, and they'd spend, if they had a cookie every 2 weeks, they'd spend 13 days and 23 hours dreaming about the cookie.
Well, and let me say this. I tell people when I started, I kept myself strict. I'm an addict. I'm a food addict. I couldn't go in and just sit down and have a cookie. So I went 2 years with no cookies. And I did that because I knew that all it would take is me sitting down and you let that monkey just gently climb on your back a little bit. So it's no different than if you are, this is going to sound extreme, but it's to me, food is the same thing. If you're a heroin addict, you don't say, okay, I'm only going to do a little bit of heroin today. No, you say, I'm going to stay clear of any type of even putting myself in a position to be exposed to that. And that's what I did. I didn't go into fast food restaurants. I made my lunch. I took my things. If I was going out to eat with friends, I made sure I ate before I went so I could just enjoy the company. I mean, I tell people and they say, well, you change your whole life. Oh, of course, it's a lifestyle change. But I also remember when I was morbidly obese, life wasn't all that great anyway. You know, life was substantially harder than it is now. You know what I mean? Life was far less enjoyable than it is now. And so you have to ask yourself, and again, that comes with reaching your why. At some point, that light will switch on for each individual person. you can't do it because if you're not ready, doesn't matter what anybody say, do, or any opportunity you have to be ready and willing to accept it and step into it for it to happen. And that's just, you know, that's with anything that you want to do. And I firmly believe that. And I didn't know I was ready when I went to immersion, other than my son and what happened at the theme park made me want to go. But even then, I had the rack of ribs. You know, and then after I got there, I didn't know that I was going to share my story about my mom. But when I did, it was like one thing led to another, which led to another, which led to freedom.
Mm.
And I am free at 45 years old. I'm free. I don't feel like there's a monkey chasing me around. I don't feel like I can't. There's no self-restraint. I don't feel like I can't function. I don't feel like I have to hide or any of those things. I can step out and do what I need to do and know that I'm capable of it. And 99% of the people who are failing hasn't realized that they have the power. And as soon as they do, I'm telling you, man, you better watch out. the results will be extraordinary for anybody. I am not special. I'm the most ordinary person you'll ever meet. The only difference between you and the person out there who's where I was and where I'm at now, me today, is I have applied the knowledge that I got. And this is the best part. You can get the knowledge. It's simple. You don't have to go to immersion to get it. Would love to have you come, but you don't have to. You can eat your veggies, eat your fruits, you know, stay away from the meat, stay away from the dairy, and try to move for about an hour a day. You know that, and I got to share this too, when I was exercising, you know what some of my exercises would be? Mm-hmm. My wife and I would turn on music, and we would have what we called the dance party, where me, my wife, and my son would literally dance for about 60 minutes straight. Huh. I can't even tell you. I mean, besides the fact that we have fun, my son still talks about those, by the way. He says, Dad, you remember the dance parties? And I would be soaking wet, you know, afterwards. But it was, it, you know, people think that you have to go to a gym. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to go to a gym. I mean, move for 60 minutes a day. That's all you got to do.
So I'd like to kind of end with a question that has been bubbling up for me, and totally hypothetical. But how do you think your son is different and his prospects are different and his thoughts and his mindset are different because of what you've done for yourself?
That is a really good question, Howard, and I'm going to say this. Of all the perks or gifts or opportunities that have come, the thing that I cherish the most is that my son now believes that anything is possible. And he doesn't believe that because I tell him anything is possible. He now believes that he can do anything he sets his mind to. And he doesn't believe that because I tell him. We grow up, my mom used to tell me that. And I'll be honest with you, looking back, I didn't really believe her.
Mm.
He believes that because he's watched it. Not only have I lost the weight, when we started the company Full Flavor Vegan, which is manufactured by Whole Foods Market and sold through Whole Foods Market stores across America, my son was at the very first tasting. He's watched me go to the obese, shell of a person, to somebody who is strong emotionally, mentally, and physically. He's watched me be healed in a way that far exceeds my exterior. He's watched me grow, and this is going to sound crazy, I'm a better man, a better husband, much better father. And because of that, it's touched every aspect of his life. He's in a position now where he understands that we can do anything. And he tells me that all the time. One of the things I say to him when he gets up in the morning, and this is really what I say to him. I get him up in the morning and I make his breakfast and we sit down at the table and talk. And I say to him today, and it's funny, he'll chime in. I need to just try to be a little bit better than I was yesterday. Not in terms of competition, but you want to be a better person. You want to be a stronger person. You want to be a little bit better version of yourself. Take what you learned the day before and apply it to today. And that's what he's gotten from this. And I'll tell you, I look at him, and I mean, he is an outgoing personality, and he's going to do far greater things than I can even imagine ever doing which is what we want for our kids anyway. But I'm just grateful that he got a chance to see this. I'm grateful that, you know, I was blessed enough to be at Whole Foods when I was, and the stars lined up in a way that allowed me to be accepting of what was the opportunity laid in front of me. I got to say this before I let you go. Most people don't succeed, be it in business, life, health, career, whatever, because most of us don't see the opportunity. The opportunity could be right in front of us, and it goes by. And I could have worked at Whole Foods the whole time and never went to Immersion, which they have thousands of employees that need it that don't. I could have went to Immersion and never applied it. The success rate at Immersion's, about 85% of the people who go to Immersion don't stick with it. Now, all of these numbers are true. It doesn't make me special. It just means that for whatever reason, I was in harmony enough to be able to receive it and apply it. And anybody out there listening right now, if you allow yourself the opportunity to really do this, if you're one of those people to give to other people, if you're one of those people who work your butt off, if you're one of those people who never worked a day in your life and wish you should or you could, if you do this, I'm telling you, you too can do what I've done. There's no secret formula. There's no, you know, nobody can keep you from doing it. You can change your life immediately.
Such a beautiful story, and it's so true. And it must be frustrating for you to explain to people that you're not a superhero.
You know, they laugh because for me, the funny part was, you know, you've lost a lot of weight when two things happen. You buy new underwear, and the second thing is when you have to defend your before picture. I've had people say, there's no way that the two people in the picture are even related. And I think to myself, wow, that is the most backhanded comment, you know, compliment I've ever, you know, but they do. And so I tell people all the time, they think, oh man, you've done something that's extraordinary. And I get how it looks on the surface. I put my pants on one leg at a time like everybody else. And every day I get up and I apply myself, and I still take it one meal at a time. Do I miss it? No. But there's always an opportunity to slip up with anybody, no matter who you are. And so I try to keep myself in a position where I don't have to worry about that. I try to stay focused and do those things. And I look at it too. My son is a great deterrent because he's got to see what's possible. I never want to take that away from him. Are you kidding me? Like, I want him to go into this. I want our daughter, who will be born in March, to come into this world and feel like the sky is the limit, and all you have to do is apply yourself and you can have it. So,
right on. So before I let you go, tell me where people can find you, buy your book, read about you, watch the movie that you're in.
So a couple of things. I'm in the movie Eating You Alive, which also has James Cameron, who did Avatar, and Samuel Jackson. It's in theaters. You can look it up. If you want to see the trailer, you can look it up on YouTube or just Google Eating You Alive, and it'll pop up. My book is available on Amazon. It's called The Change. It's written with me and Dr. Scott Stowe. It's endorsed by everybody, from John Mackey to Dr. McDougall. You know, the people who did Forks Over Knives, Brian Wendell. I mean, everybody has endorsed it. Please take a look at it. I have a cookbook that comes out in about a month and a half called The Change Cookbook, which Dr. Stoll and I have done. I didn't even get a chance to mention this, but I am the official national spokesperson for Sun Warrior, the Sun Warrior brand, the protein company. I mean, if you Google me, you'll get lots of information. You can visit Full Flavor Vegan, which is the food line that I created with Whole Foods help, that's sold in their stores. You can go to fullflavorvegan.com. That's fullflavorvegan.com, and check it out. By all means, look it up. But I want to say this. You don't have to buy anything. I would love for anybody out there that hears this to feel free to reach out to me. I would love to hear your story. I tell people all the time when they tell me, you know, that my journey has inspired them, or they're, I want to hear your own success story. Because if you do this, your results are going to be the same. And I would love to see and be a part of that. So please feel free to reach out. And I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And you can look me up under Mylon Ross, and I should pop up.
All right, and I'll include links to everything in the show notes for today's episode. And if you're listening to this and you don't know what episode that is, just do a search on my site for M-I-L-A-N, Mylan, and you'll find it. So, Mylan, I'm quivering with excitement and admiration, and just I'm just feeling like some like distant galaxy that has sent, you know, the light like billions and zillions of miles, and I can just feel how this conversation is going to go out, ripple out into the future, and touch so many people. And I'm so grateful to be able to have this opportunity to be a little part of sharing your story, because it's your story, but it's all of our story. Everyone's got a piece of this, and we need to, you know, to move together forward. And like I began the interview, you know, if people don't trust themselves, if they don't trust their bodies yet, they can look at your before and afters, they can read your book, they can hear the depth and sincerity and warmth and passion in your voice, and they can borrow a little bit of your story as they take their own first steps. So I just want to thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me, Howard. Anytime. It's been a blast, man. I truly appreciate it.
Right on. Be very well.
You too.
Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode of the Plant Yourself Podcast, please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more information about the Big Change Program led by me and Josh Lajani, visit bigchangeprogram.com. And be sure to check out the show notes for today's episode with links to everything we talked about at plantyourself.com/195. If you're new to the show, you can catch up on 194 archived episodes over at plantyourself.com. And if you get the podcast, but not the Big Change Bulldog, the new name for the old newsletter, you can sign up and get the Sometimes Say Never report at plantyourself.com/never, and that's through the end of February 2017. Today's show is brought to you by a cool, dark, quiet, and uncluttered bedroom. If you're not sleeping well, you're not performing well, and you're not living the life you were meant to live. More on this in a few weeks in my conversation with Emerson Wickwire, a sleep disorder specialist at the University of Maryland Medical Center. Thanks, as always, to Plant Yourself Podcast patrons Kim Harrison, Lynn McClellan, Anthony Disson, Brittany Porter, Dominic Marrow, Barbara Whitney, Tammy Black, Amy Good, Amanda Hatherley, Mary Jane Wheeler, Ellen Kennelly, Melissa Cobb, Rachel Behrens, Christine Nielsen, Tina Scharf, Tina Ahern, Jen Volkanovsky, David Bizek, The Mysterious, Michelle X, Elspeth Feldman, Victoria Dolomanova, Leah Stoller, Alan Christensen, Colleen Peck, Michelle Landry, Josina, Julianne Rowland, Stu Dolnick, Sarah Durkis, Rhymes with Circus, Kelly Cameron, Wayne Patterson, Leanne Peterson, Janet Selby, Claire Adams, Tom Fronzak, for your generous support of the podcast. And if you would like to test my lungs even further, you can also become a sustainer of the podcast by donating on the Plant Yourself homepage, either Patreon or donate through PayPal or Patreon. And that really helps support the show and allows me to spend more time on it. Thanks also to Will Ridenour for allowing me to use his beautiful song Sabali Dawn, Dance of Peace. And you can find more of Will's music at his website, willridenour.com. If you would like to support the show, you can share this in other episodes. You can write that review on iTunes, so important for helping spread the word. And you can become a patron by, as I said, pledging a one-time amount or an ongoing gift to the podcast over at plantyourself.com. In garden news, we planted a bunch of stuff the last couple of weeks. Nothing's poking up yet, but we're still getting a pretty good crop of kale. And we are extending the run of our rescue chickens and moving them out so that we can now plant some of the spaces where they were scratching and pooping before, so the cycle of life continues. In running news, I've now taken, since I interviewed Scott Carney, who wrote a book, What Doesn't Kill Us, about cold exposure, largely, or just environmental shocks. That podcast will be broadcast in a few weeks. Since reading his inspiring book, which I recommend you go out and get now, and read it before the podcast comes out, he inspired me to go running shirtless in the very, very freezing cold. And so that's my new thing, and I'm getting lots and lots of looks as if I'm crazy, which I kind of like, because, well, that's just kind of who I am. That's it for this week. So as always, be well, my friends.